Blog Talk Radio.
Behold, he comes,
riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, ashes from his heart.
Than the sun, and the trumpet shall sound. I love hearing that song. God bless you, everyone. God bless you. Of course, that was Judy Jacobs with Days of Elijah. Judy Jacobs with Days of Elijah, in case you were wondering. I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon on God's Word to Man. We have a special, very special treat for you today. Today we are joined by our brother, our dear brother, Brother Daniel Rogers. He's got a message of truth, and if he can get there, he says, prophecy for these last days. Amen? And so before we bring on Brother Daniel, I just want to give you some information. Of course, as I said, you're listening to a live broadcast of God's Word to Man. Brought to you by the Church of Christ, the Elijah Message, of course. I'm Brother Manny, and normally you hear me on Mondays at 7 p.m., but tonight it's going to be a little different. Tonight you're going to have Brother Kevin at 7 p.m. come on, Brother Kevin Bruce, and I am going to help Brother Daniel right now facilitate his 4 o'clock broadcast, okay? So it's a little change up, but not too much difference. You're still going to be blessed in the content is still going to be a blessing, okay? So without further ado, make sure if you're on social media to go over and like our Facebook page, God's Word to Man Facebook page. And if you're listening and you like to call in, the number to do that is 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. We also have an email address. It's godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. We check that periodically, and if you send something there, we'll respond as the Lord gives us, okay? So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my dear brother. He's been evangelizing and preaching and doing missionary work for 5 decades or more, at least. And he still has a word. God has still put a word inside of him for the masses. And so we want to welcome our very dear brother, Brother Daniel Rogers. God bless you, Brother Rogers. Are you there?
Yes, sure am, Brother Emmanuel.
Well, this is a treat. And I, for one, am happy you were able to join us today. I'm not going to waste any time here. I'm just going to turn it over to you, and you let the Holy Spirit lead however you want to take the broadcast, okay?
Okay, thank you. Well,
no problem.
First of all, I'd like to ask the Lord's help and blessing, okay? And
yes,
Lord,
sir.
Be with us and help us and give us words to say and thoughts to think, to share with the people that you want said and done by your grace and mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay,
amen.
Well, the first thing I want to do is turn to the Holy Bible. That is where we appeal to our authority and right to speak, and the last word and testament is the Holy Bible. And the first and greatest. And in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, we read these words, King James Version, 10th verse, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So here we see the great importance, two things, the great importance of having the truth and the importance of a love for truth. Because as we know, there are so many voices, so many denominations, so many religious organizations. The Catholic Church has a 3,000 Protestant denominations. I don't know if that's true or not. Pardon me, because all the doctrines of the Catholic Church are false. But, you know, they say Mary suffered for our sins along with Jesus. I asked a priest one time that. If it was true, I didn't want to tell a falsehood on the Catholic Church. And the Catholic priest told me, he said, yes, Mary suffered at the foot of the cross for our sins while Jesus suffered on the cross for our sin. So he got two saviors. But, of course, that's opposite of the Bible, as all their doctrines are. But the point being, there's 348 denominations that belong to the World Council of Churches. And they all teach a different doctrines. And some of them say that you're going to go to hell or take the mark of the beast if you keep Sunday. The Seventh-day Adventist Church says that. And the Church of Christ Camelites say that you have to belong to them to be saved. And on and on and on. And the United Methodist Church preaches it. The Bible has a lot of myths, and that Jesus wasn't virgin born, and they preach socialism and so on. And so it goes. And so how do we know which one's telling the truth? Well, the simple fact is, the Bible says here, they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So it's important. And then he said they received a lie that they might be damned. So one important false doctrine can cause you to be lost. But our safety doesn't lie in our great intellect or great education. I'm thankful for that, that I'm just ordinary. I'm nobody and myself. And it's only because of God's grace and mercy that he gave me my heritage. And so to give you a little background for confidence in what I'm sharing with you, let me share a little of my testimony. It started with John Rogers, the martyr, in 1555. He was burned at the stake under Catholic Queen Mary, called Bloody Mary in history, because she burnt so many Christians, Protestants, at the stake. And she burned him because he translated the Bible from Latin into English so the common people could have it. And I like to tell a little of my background, because it's all by the grace and mercy of God. Had nothing to do with it, of course. And then it comes on down to my grandparents, all of four of which were dedicated Christians, and on my papa's side, Lumen Rogers started and ran they call it a Skid Row mission back in old days. They call it a better name now, a rescue mission. And my grandparents on my mother's side were also dedicated Christians, and by the grace and mercy of God, Grandma also started a Skid Row rescue mission in Oakland, California, and ministered and was a prophetess-type lady. People come across the United States, get a prophecy from her. Wasn't that wonderful? And
by
the grace of God, of course. And she was also spirit-filled, received the Holy Spirit like they did in the Bible, spoke in other languages. And then my parents also were spirit-filled, dedicated Christians all their lives, never backslid, and neither did my grandparents, and for that matter. And Papa preached 70 years the gospel. He was a circuit riding preacher, you know, on horseback. My parents were born in the 1800s. And Papa preached 70 years, started when he was 7 years old. Isn't that something?
Wow,
in front of his grandpa's little mission there in Los Angeles. And Grandpa started the Free Track Society, still going. And he actually, Papa got men saved in front of that Skid Row mission. And he never took up an offering. He preached for the love of the Lord, not for money, and was self-supporting, as I have also been for over 50 years. And just thankful for the opportunity, the privilege, the honor to get to be a preacher for Jesus and preaching Jesus. So I'll give you just a little bit of background. And I was saved when I was 9, filled with the touch of the Spirit when I was 15. I didn't speak in other tongues, but I had a life-changing experience that changed me instantly from animosity and bitterness to the love of God. Just trying to shorten it here, leaving out a lot of details. And then at 19, I was filled again with the Spirit, spoke in other languages that time, And by the grace and mercy of God, he started using me in the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the first things I want to testify, by the grace and mercy of God, I had nothing to do with it, in a way, because I had double pneumonia, and I died and went to heaven, woke up in heaven, looked around, and again, to shorten it, Jesus talked to me, and I talked to him, and he revealed to me some of the mysteries of the Bible and some of the prophecies, especially the ones of the Bible that apply to now, and the fullness of the gospel. So I got my doctrines, the things that I'll share with you. I wasn't taught by man. Yeah, I went to a couple Bible colleges, but they teach traditions and mixed with their teachings. Even though it's Pentecostal Bible College, there's still mixture. But what I preach is what Jesus, by his grace and mercy, revealed to little old Daniel. And just grace and mercy. I want to emphasize that. I can't emphasize it too much. I want you to know, ain't that right, that the Lord's the only one worthy of any glory. Amen.
Amen.
And I want him to get all the praise and all the glory. Okay, but our safety with all these churches of man out there on preaching different doctrines, and some of them saying the others are lost and are wrong and they're the only ones that are right, and others, you know, saying they're going to take the mark of the beast if you don't believe their doctrine and so on. How do we know? I know I'm not smart enough to figure it all out and to tell which one would be right. So what's our safety? Our safety's in this verse. They received a love of the truth, they might be saved, quote unquote. That's the secret. A love of the truth. If you can't deceive a man that loves truth, it'd be very hard, because his love for truth is his safety. You know, Jesus said in John 14:6, didn't he, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. Well, there you have it. Jesus is the truth. So the more Jesus you have, the more truth you have. And the more truth you have, especially of a spiritual nature, the more Jesus you have. You can't separate them. And the Holy Ghost, one of his glorious names is what? Jesus.
The Spirit of truth.
John 14 said, he is the Spirit of truth. That's one of the names of the Holy Ghost. So that's important too, that we receive the Spirit to lead and guide us into truth. Didn't Jesus say that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead and guide you into some truth and some error? No. He'll lead and guide you in a little bit of truth? No. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. That's the words of Jesus. So we have to have the Holy Spirit to lead us. Amen. And we have to be humble enough and willing to follow the Spirit and not follow man. We follow man, like Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also a follower of Christ. But we don't just follow any old man, any old teaching, but it has to come out of the Bible, be backed up by the Bible, ain't that right? And
that's true.
Okay, and then we won't be led astray if it's foundation in the Scriptures. And he will lead and guide us in these last days. He's going to have a people without spot or wrinkle. They'll have truth. They'll have power. They'll heal the sick. They'll be like the church in the Bible and the book of Acts. And Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do also. So they will. They'll do that. And by his grace and mercy, that's what he's done for little old Daniel, to heal the sick and to speak in languages, even Spanish one time in Waco, Texas. The missionary said I did. I didn't know any Spanish back then. I know a little bit now, not that much, but tiny bit, kind of enough to get by, do my missionary work in Central America. And we've been preaching and evangelizing the best we could with the help of the Lord overseas and coast to coast and old Mexico and American Indian reservations. And now our calling and our work has been in Central America and Honduras. And we love it. I want to get back there as soon as I can and resume missionary work there in Honduras. That's where my heart is. And the wonderful
Amen.
Christian people down there. But we want you to have the truth. And so if we'll seek it and seek for a love of the truth, that we might be saved. I just quoted the scripture again. So it's important, isn't it, to have the truth.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Will error save us? I don't think so. Do
nope.
you?
Nope. No, sir. Yes,
it's
sir.
Only truth that will save us. And spiritual truth, of course, for in the spiritual realm. Natural truth about natural health is good to know, too. But you can go to heaven with a sick body, but if your soul is lost, you're going to go to one of two places. There's only two. There's no purgatory like Catholic Church teach. That word's not in the Bible, not taught in any of the scriptures. But heaven and hell are both taught. Jesus taught hell 10 times. And if any preacher doesn't warn people, you know, out of love, and of course, Jesus did. He preached hell 10 times in the Gospels. And so it's necessary to warn people, not to condemn people. We all need grace and mercy to be saved, not to be arrogant and condemnatory and act like better than somebody, but just out of love, because it's the truth. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, as the old saying goes. And I want to meet you in heaven. Like I said, I've been there. It's wonderful. I wanted to go back. But the Lord sent 3 angels into my sick room, and they prayed for me. And the Lord instantly healed me of a hot fever, double pneumonia, lungs full of fluid. People can die of pneumonia, as you most anybody should be aware of.
Amen.
But
yes,
the Lord,
they can.
Okay. And the Lord can heal us, can't he? Isn't that right?
Oh, yes.
And he is so good to do that. He loves you and me, and everybody wants us to repent and give our hearts to the Lord and serve him to the end in the way we can know which way to go and what to believe is receiving a love for the truth. That's the words out of the Bible. And otherwise, a lie, and I don't mean a tiny little bit of false understanding, but a major doctrine of falsehood, it said, could cause us to be damned. And so we want to keep seeking truth. And as I said, the more truth you have, the more Jesus, and the closer we can draw up to him. I pray constantly every morning when my morning prayers, it's such a blessing. I just am always thankful and humble that I can kneel down before my Maker and kind of snuggle up to the Father and sort of sit on the lap, you know, and just snuggle with the Lord every morning. Hallelujah. It blesses me to have Jesus for my Savior. Isn't it a blessing that
it's
I had nothing
blessing.
To
Amen.
Do with that, my background and my grandparents and all like that, and my parents that loved Jesus, they both did. They both were filled with the Holy Ghost and had the love of God and were humble. There's a lot of people claim a lot of things and they get self-righteous and haughty. But they were humble and they loved everybody. They just seemed like we always had somebody around that the folks would take in that needed a place and needed a hand up and a little help along the road. And they'd take in children and whoever that the Lord sent their way. And I never had a... They make such a big thing out of racism now. Accuse if you disagree with them and don't believe in socialism, you're a racist. But I didn't have to unlearn a prejudice. I had no prejudice because I was never taught it, which is a form of hate, which is terrible. You're lost if you've
Amen.
Got prejudice. You got to love everybody.
Oh, yes.
And God has great evangelists and great workers for the Lord, and even apostles that are of various colors. It don't matter to the Lord. He's colorblind. Jesus loves mm-hmm. everybody, and there's all colors, tribes, and nations in heaven. And everybody's white in heaven. It's a great blessing to be have these different races for brothers and sisters. I call the people in Central America brown and beautiful. I love them to pieces. God knows that's the truth. And they love me back. It's just a beautiful fellowship. We're all human beings and no difference, and God loves everybody. And we got to love everybody, ain't that right?
That's true. Amen.
Amen. And Jesus will give us his spirit if we walk humbly, do justly, love mercy, fear God, and keep his commandments. I just quoted two scriptures. One of them is in Ecclesiastes 12:13, I think it is. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And he says, fear God and keep his commandments. And so that's what we have to strive to do. If we stumble, if we fall, we make a mistake or a sin or something, we just humble ourselves and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me do better next time. And he will. He wants us to come to heaven and live with him forever. What a wonderful hope we have if we're faithful unto the end. We can do that. I want to go to heaven. Don't you all?
Amen. I do. Amen.
Amen. I really and truly do. I wanted to go right back after I had that, as they call it, a near-death experience. And it's so wonderful there. And the Lord's healed me over 30 times, but 5 times were major miracles that I would have died. That was one of them I told you about, that I did die of double pneumonia and went to heaven. But the Lord, as I mentioned, sent the 3 angels and healed me. And he sent angels from time to time to visit me, and I'm so thankful for that. I think a lot of it had to do with my parents' prayers for me.
Oh yes.
They were so loving and good to me, and I'm thankful for Christian parents. It's a great blessing, isn't it?
Yes, and, it is.
Oh, yes, it is. It's such a blessing. And now we're in the last days, and one of the things that the Lord revealed to me was some of the prophecies. And if you'll turn over and read Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, the 15th verse, down through, well, especially about the 30th, but you can go to the end of the chapter. It's still on subject. And you'll read about the great war that's soon to be. I've got to tell you about it. The angel, the Elijah, talks about it. And I would love to share with you, but we just can't do everything in one broadcast about the angel. But maybe the Lord willing, in the future we will. But
amen.
There in Jeremiah is one passage. And then there's a whole chapters on this coming up conflagration. It's really the Third World War is what I call it. But other people call it Armageddon, which is okay. That's a good name, too. That's a Bible name. That's in Revelation 16:16. And the 13th chapter of Isaiah describes this Third World War or Armageddon, and it's only named Armageddon one time, but the other times it just describes the day of the Lord 14 times. And if you'll read about the day of the Lord, you'll discover it says it's a day of darkness and thick darkness, a day of destruction. Those are the words of the Lord in the Bible. Day of destruction, and it'll be a nuclear war, this Third World War coming up. We've had the First World War, and about 10 million people were killed, and then we had the Second World War, and mostly all civilians, non-combatants, they call them, were killed. And that was way over 50 million, up to 85 million, depending on how they keep count. But they all agree over 50 million, and 40-some million of those were civilians, my friend. Think
wow.
About that. 40 million people. That's a lot of people. Were slaughtered in that Second World War. And if it wasn't for our brave soldiers, we wouldn't have the blessings of freedom that we do have. And now they're back at it again, preaching same doctrine, socialism, which is a doctrine of communism. And communism is a political party, but socialism is what the communists teach and believe. And it's taught in our colleges. And people wonder, you know, you read there's 16,000 murders, according to the FBI, in the United States every year. And a few of them that are the most hideous ones and make the best news to sell newspapers and whatever, they get in the news. But there's 16,000. Where do they keep coming from? They get, looks like they'd kill each other off. And they don't. Why? Because the principles that they causes it is taught in the public schools. All the evils of the United States and the Western world come from public schools and colleges. They teach these things, and they teach that there's no right or wrong. They teach you are your own God. That's the very words they teach. And so that they keep making more and more criminals. Where did they get the idea that it's okay to go into a school, some high school student, and with a gun and mow people down and just kill everybody they can before they get killed or kill themselves? Where did they get those ideas? They get them from the public schools and public colleges. It's sad but true. But I got to tell you, and Christian people, because they don't realize that, send their children to public schools and public colleges. Well, they're taught secular humanism, one of the worst philosophies on planet Earth. And they teach that secular humanism says that there's no God. The Bible's a myth. You are your own God, and if it feels good, do it. That's where that slogan came from. And it's taught as a course in public colleges. And then the colleges teach the grammar school, high school teachers, and they pass it on because they're taught it. And so we have millions of drug addicts. We have millions of criminals. We have 10 million alcoholics. It's sad. You know, the Lord loves all those people. He wants to save them. Isn't that right? And he loves every one of them. And just as much as he loves you or me. But they, if they don't repent, they'll be lost. Sad, sad, sad. How terribly sad. But we must try and warn people. Now, this nation is going to be cleansed. The angel says so. And how will it be done? Well, it'll be done by judgments of God. He's given us warnings of all kinds. I mean, he killed, there were almost 2,997 people were killed in the Twin Towers and the two airplanes that hit the America, the one at the Pentagon and one that crashed because of the brave people on board aborted the flight so that it couldn't get to probably Washington, D.C. it was going to hit. And then we got fires and we got wildfires and out west, and we got floods, and there were the great sinful city of New Orleans. There were over 3,000 people killed in that when it was flooded twice. Said it's even being flooded somewhat late now by the just a number one hurricane. But the other two hurricanes killed over 3,000 people in the New Orleans. And do they repent and turn to Jesus and start being Christians? No. Sad but true. So he just keeps sending more and more floods and hurricanes and wildfires and tornadoes killing hundreds of people. It's sad, but they are warnings trying to wake us up to repent and give our hearts to the Lord. I want to make it, and I want others to make it to heaven. So we have to cry repentance. Isn't that right?
That's
everybody
right.
has
That's
to
right.
repent to make it. Ain't that right?
That's right.
And we can if we will. That's the good part. God is merciful. But, you know, we're murdering, really, but killing, however you want to call it, 1,100,000 innocent little babies every year in the United States. Isn't that pitiful? But where do
yes,
mothers learn that it's okay, that they think it's okay to kill their own baby? It's they learn it in schools, public schools, colleges, and so that they have laid up for themselves in store great judgment. Think of that, 1,000,000 innocent. How much? You can't get any more innocent than a baby. And they kill their own babies with the help of doctors, AMA doctors, and they've made it the law of the land, and that's plus the perversion of homosexuality, of lesbianism. Why is it a sin? Well, it goes against God's order. So they're in rebellion against the way the Lord made human beings. He made Adam and Eve to have a husband and wife, and it's the foundation of society. And it was God's idea of a family and a home and the children to have a father and a mother that loved them and to raise them up and teach them about the Lord. And they go against that. And that's why it's a sin. It's rebellion against God. The Old Testament said they were to be stoned. The New Testament doesn't say that. But it calls it a sin in Romans, the first chapter, and says they're worthy of death, but it don't say to put them to death. But it makes it plain that it's wrong, it's a sin, and yet it's made the law of the land in this beautiful, wonderful land that I love, the United States of America. What a blessing to get to be born here and get to be an inhabitant, a citizen. We didn't choose it. We didn't worthy of it. We didn't earn it. It's just like a birthday present. You didn't earn a birthday present. You get a birthday present just because you were born. And so
right.
it is with us being here, and we're all equal. We're all citizens of this glorious country, and that people have died since the Revolutionary War. I just watched a segment like a History Channel on the history of the United States, and I don't have TV, but I got computer and I can dial into nice things like that, and it was a great sacrifice. The Revolutionary War, it was a great sacrifice. The First World War, it was a great sacrifice. Of over 400,000 of our men were killed in the Second World War, that we might have these freedoms and to go to church and to have the laws and so on. and we've trodden them underfoot. Sad, sad, sad. And to think of the wickedness. Well, I don't like to harp on it. I don't like to talk about it even. But I have to, in order to wake us up to realize why there will be the Third World War, where all these rockets, these missiles they're building. Russia has over 7,000. We have 585. China has hundreds of intercontinental ballistic missiles. And there's 28 nations that have nuclear bombs, rockets, and whatever. And on both of our oceans, they're patrolling the oceans with, Russia is, with submarines that are have nuclear rockets in them. And there'll be no warning. That's why we went to the Ozarks to get out of the cities. All the cities in the United States are targeted with a nuclear missile. There's 2,413 cities in the United States that are 10,000 or more population. I counted them one time. 1, 2, 3, 4 is a boring job ever got in. It took about 4 hours, two times a day to do all that counting. And they are all targeted. So I have to warn you, brother, sister, do not be in a city of any size, 10,000 maybe, for sure 50,000 are targeted. Even the government, I have a whole case full of books about Third World War written by Christian preachers and by generals, NATO generals and so on, and they all say the same thing, that they're targeted, and they will be destroyed. And when you stop to think of it, where are the headquarters of wickedness, of the drug cartels? Where do they ship the drugs into and then distribute them? It's where do they kill the babies? My wife was a RN nurse for 38 years, worked in hospitals and nursing home, especially around here in the Ozarks and in Arkansas, Missouri. But there are no abortion clinics in little cities, even though they got hospitals around here. Elizabeth worked in them. She never worked in one where they kill babies. But they have abortion clinic in Springfield, Kansas City, and St. Louis, and all the big cities, practically. And that's what's targeted. That will put an end to it. The Lord appeared to a prophetic type of man, David Terrell, and told him that the cries of my babies have come up before me, and I am not happy with it, and I'm going to put an end to it. Well, then what? How? Then he showed him a vision of the nuclear missiles or rockets, maybe his old-fashioned way of saying it, that came over from Russia and destroyed all our cities. Jesus talked about that. Luke, the 17th chapter, read it, or make a note and read it later. And in the 26th through the 30th verse, he said that fire would come out of the sky and destroy the cities. That's what Jesus said. Well, what's a nuclear explosion? It's just a giant, humongous ball of fire. It'll melt, destroy cement. It'll melt steel. It's so hot. It'll burn up everything. And the cities will be destroyed. Jesus said so. And before his coming, I read that whole passage. I don't always quote the whole passage, save time, but read that one. And then he also talked about it, and this is an important one. Make a note. It's Revelations, the 9th chapter, the 15th through the 19th verse. And he said these words that I'm going to condense it, but he said that one third of mankind would be slain by fire and smoke in 60 minutes. Well, there never was a way or that it could have happened. And he uses the word army. And he uses a description of it. And he describes a rocket with it's long and round like a serpent, he said. And that it had power in its head, which it did destroy or hurt with, and power in its tail. Well, what's a rocket got a power in its head? They even use the very same word we use today, war head. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
2,000
mm-hmm.
years ago. And then he said the power's in its tail. Well, what's in the tail of a rocket? Rocket motors that make the thing go. And so there's
uh-huh.
a description, and it's long and round and all. Just like the Lord said almost 2,000 years ago, over 1,900 years ago. And that one-third of mankind on planet Earth would be slain in 60 minutes. Think about that. What a war. That in America, we've got over 300 million, but a third of mankind is 2 billion, 350 million. That will die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my friend, please give your heart to Jesus. Jesus loves you, and he wants you to be saved. Isn't that right, Brother Emmanuel?
That's right. That's right, brother. You know
And he loves everybody. He wants you. He don't want you to be destroyed in this great war, but it's got to be cleansed. America. And they kill the babies in China. It's a law. You can only have one baby. If you get pregnant, lady gets pregnant with another baby, they drag her off to an abortion clinic and kill the baby. And Russia has abortions, and all of the Western world in Europe, they have abortions. No abortions in Latin America. And the seven Central American nations, no abortion against the law. And the 13 nations of South America, no abortions against the law. And Mexico, no abortions except Mexico City. There's a small amount, and it's legal in Mexico City. But the rest of Latin America, no abortions. Which is a good place to be, but that ain't why I went down there, but it is a safe place to be. But I didn't think about that, didn't know anything about it when I went down there. I couldn't talk. I knew one word of Spanish and so on, but it's coming, and soon, look, there could be a Third World War breakout with Iran. They want to bomb us, and North Korea hasn't given up any of their missiles and atomic nuclear bombs. And I already mentioned China and Russia has them, ones that can reach here. And it will happen, my friend, because the Bible says, not because I'm saying it. Read it in the Bible. I gave you the scriptures. Please believe the Bible. Believe Jesus. Believe the prophets. Believe the Holy Bible. It's going to happen. This nation has to be cleansed. It's a special nation under the Lord, and he won't permit it to be anything different until he comes. It'll have a great revival afterward. That's a whole subject. That'll be wonderful, won't it, Brother Emmanuel?
Yes, it will, brother.
Oh, it will. There's a great revival coming, and Brother Terrell's seen visions of it, and all the other prophetically gifted men of God down through the years in our time and Bible time both describe this great revival. It's always happened. As the Bible says, when the judgments of the Lord are in the land, the people will learn righteousness. Now, that's a Bible way of putting what we call revival. People turning to the Lord, repenting, and righteousness being the result. It'll be so wonderful. And the apostles and the angel and everything will be in abundance. And there are more and more angels being seen, it seemed like. But the Lord's trying to every which way he can to wake us up and repent, give our heart and life to Jesus. And I want to close out with that Jesus loves you, whoever's listening, and he wants you to go to heaven. Give him your heart, life, and repent of your sins and say, Jesus, forgive me. And he will. He will do it. The first words Jesus preached was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the very first thing Jesus said. And the greatest prophet, John the Baptist, what did he preach? Repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's what we're saying, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand, because it is. And we could have our part in it right now. And the outer manifestation is soon to be also when Jesus comes. And can't have the fullness of a kingdom without a king, but he's on the way, so to speak. And Jesus loves your neighbor. He really, really, really does. He died on the cross for you and me, and he wants us to go to heaven to be with him. Oh, I want to go back so bad. I want to be there. I want to be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I want to be there. And you can be, neighbor. You can be. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Give him your heart. Give him your life. And you'll make it. Don't worry about churches of man, and don't worry about anything of this old world. Put Jesus first. Serve him, and you'll be saved, and we'll meet you there. Okay, God bless you. We'll turn it back to you, Brother Emmanuel.
Amen. Well, thank you for that, Brother Daniel, and I just want to say it was a blessing having you on. Just so the people know, as Brother Daniel, as his schedule permits, he will be on every Monday, at 4 p.m. tentatively, okay?
An honor and blessing to get to share with people. Thank you, Brother Emmanuel.
No problem. I got one caller for you, brother. Give me one second. God bless you on God's Word to Man. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Mary Gillespie?
God bless you, Mary.
Okay. I just want to call and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for Brother Daniel. And I'm hoping, you know, that he will be able to come back on and expound on the mysteries that the Lord opened up the word unto him. And the other that he might expound on also the early Christendom that he was talking about of his grandmother and mother and throughout the generations, you know, up until the Church of Christ with the Elijah message. And I just wanted to tell him it was a blessing to hear him and to hear him once again and to wish him that he do come back on and expound on the many scriptures that I know he know. Thank you.
Okay.
That's all.
No problem.
Well, thank
all right.
you, ma'am, for your kind words.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sister Mary. All right. Take care.
Okay.
Well, isn't that a blessing, Brother Daniel? Somebody listening out there, I tell you, it's, the broadcast does reach quite a few areas and people in the world.
I should have quit earlier. I will next time, so allow more time for people to call in.
That's all right, brother.
I didn't realize what I should have done.
That's okay.
But I will
like
next time.
Like I said, amen. So there will be a next time, folks. You heard,
okay,
Brother Daniel.
Brother Murphy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you calling in, okay?
Okay.
God bless. Folks, there you have it. Brother Daniel Rogers will be on, back on with his schedule permitting next week, Monday at 4 p.m. And with that, I'd like to go ahead and end the broadcast. I'm your brother, Brother Manny. Make sure you tune in tonight at 7 p.m. Well, we'll have the brother Stephen Bruce coming on. All right? 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We love you. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may God go with you. God bless.
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. 'Cause it's me, oh Lord. I'm on my knees, crying.
Oh.